Jonah chapter 2, stand with me if you would. We're actually going to pick up where we left off last night, Jonah chapter 1, and the last verse, verse 17. We didn't read that verse, and so we'll pick up in verse 1 or 17, and then we'll jump into chapter 2. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the depths or into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord, my God, when my soul fainteth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you might help me to speak your words. I pray that you would guide my thoughts. I pray that you would help the young people to listen and to hear. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, may be seated. Chapter 1, the men begged Jonah to pray. They pleaded with him to call upon his God to intercede for us, that we perish not, was the phrase they used. And you'll be reminded of Jonah, and in Jonah's direction, in Jonah's darkness, one thing that was sure about Jonah is Jonah never prayed. The Bible talks about all that went through in chapter 1, the storm, the ship likened to be broken, the mariners crying unto their gods, the casting of the lots, the conversation, all of that took place in chapter 1. And yet, although the ship was likened to be broken, Jonah was not. Did everybody hear what I just said? I mean, that's how hardened Jonah was in his direction and his departure from God. But you'll notice here that God is doing something unique in verse 1 of chapter 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And I want you to capture something in this passage here, that God was doing more than preparing a great fish. God was preparing a heart. God was not worried about the fish. God was preparing a heart. And God was doing something in Jonah's life to bring him to a place where Jonah would finally pray. The reason that chapter 2 was such an important chapter is because it took so much development to get there. It took God 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. It took 3 days and three nights for God to create a heart that would pray. Is everybody with me? I want you to understand something. I believe one of the hardest places to work is in the heart of a man. Only God can work there. It is such a complex, hardened area. I mean, I think about the dynamite that it takes to, blow a tunnel through a mountain. And I just think of the work that God has to do in our heart. But notice here that God creates this great fish. And the Bible says that after 3 days and after three nights, chapter 2, verse 1, what's the first word? What is the first word? Say it out loud. Then. Then. Can I tell you, I don't know, I can't place myself in Jonah's life. I think I would have prayed when I thought the ship was likely to be broken. I think I would have said, hey, let, did you know he could have prayed any time and the storm would have ceased? It's not like you would have prayed and God's like, I'm not listening to you. No, God was waiting for his prayer. God desired to hear his prayer. But Jonah would not pray. And I want to just say this right at the beginning, that God is willing to wait on your prayer. He's willing to wait. He is a patient God. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. And God is preparing things in your life to bring you to a point to pray. I was reminded of a young man in our youth group who went to Bible college. His parents were pretty well off, and he had gone, and his parents had bought him a pretty nice car, and he went to Bible college, and it was a thing for him to do. His parents had gone to Bible college, and so he's just kind of doing that. But honestly, he was a rebellious kid. And he had all the jargon. He had been in church all of his life, but he went to Bible college, and honestly, he was living a pretty sinful life in Bible college. And I remember about 2 miles from the college, he had flipped his car upside down and was laying in the ditch. And it was a brand new car. They were pretty well off, but the car had been so mangled that they took the jaws of life to pry it open to get him out. And he said this to me. He said, Pastor, as I was upside down with the airbags in my face and the seatbelt, and I couldn't get my seatbelt off, and I'm thinking, do I smell fuel? And he says, all of these thoughts are running through my mind. And he says, I couldn't get my cell phone. I couldn't call for help. I'm strapped in. Car's upside down. It's mangled. I'm pinched in there. The car was totaled. He didn't have a scratch on him, which was the grace of God. But he said, as I was hanging upside down, he goes, I knew this wasn't just an accident. He said, I knew God was trying to get my attention. And he said, Pastor, you know what I did hanging upside down? He said, I started praying. Can I challenge you that God is trying to prepare your heart to pray? Amen. So here is a whale, and here is a great fish. Jonah is inside of this for 3 days and three nights. I don't know that I can imagine all that's inside of there, but notice what he says in verse 2. And here's kind of an idea, and we're going to keep working on this, but Jonah is praying and his eyes are open. Notice what it says in verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of... Now, you're going to have to help me. We're going to walk through these verses. But I want you to notice what he says. I cried by reason of... Next two words, what are they? Mine. Whose affliction? Mine affliction. I want you to notice here that Jonah is taking responsibility for where he's at. He's not saying, well, this happened or that happened, or, my mom didn't love me and my dad didn't help me, if I'd have had better circumstances. Jonah is not blaming this upon the sailors. He's not blaming this upon anyone else. It is mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For now I want you to capture verse 3. And notice here how his eyes are open. In verse 2, he calls it mine affliction. In verse 3, notice what he says about this. For, what's the second word of verse 3? Thou hast cast me into the deep. Stop just for a second. Who picked Jonah up and threw him overboard? The mariners, the sailors. Is that right, yes or no? We illustrated that last night. But Jonah is recognizing something. He is recognizing that this is not the shipmaster. This is not the sailors that threw me over. Are you watching this? His eyes are being opened that there is somebody greater than just my teacher and my principal. And I didn't make it on the ball team. But it wasn't the coach that didn't allow that. God is working in my life. So here he's making an exception. His eyes are open and he says, you know what? I know that their hands were on me, and I know that the sailors threw me overboard. But the truth is, the reason that I am in this condition, it's because of mine affliction that put me here, and it is God that threw me into the depths. So he understands the hand of God in the midst of this. And you'll notice here that he talks about, for thou hast cast me into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me, and all the billows and my waves passed over me. I want to just say something this morning, and I want you to understand Jonah's eyes being open. His eyes are being opened to a couple of things. He understands it's mine affliction. He understands it's God that is working in my heart. But he also understands something else. That back in chapter 1, when I chose my direction, when I took that first step, I had no idea how far I would go. Some of you are making choices today, and you have no idea how far down the depths that sin will take you. You can say, throw me overboard, but honestly, you have no idea what's going to take place in your life. Notice here how Jonah begins to describe the sorrow of sin. Because, I want to keep saying this, his eyes are open because the world doesn't paint sin as sorrow. The world paints sin as full of pleasure. They paint the rebellious life as a life that is full, a life that is a party, a life that always has friends. I mean, you've seen the beer commercials on TV. You know what that scene looks like. They don't show a guy laying over there in his vomit. Right. Yes or no? They don't say this. Hey, drink more beer. And watching a guy open up an envelope and it's divorce papers from his wife. They don't show you that, isn't that right? No, they don't do that. No, they show a guy that's, I mean, he's at the pinnacle of his life. He's surrounded by friends. Everybody wants to go there. Everybody's cheering on the game, and they're drinking, and they're having a great, and that's the scene that they want you to see. But Jonah's eyes are open, and he's on the other side, and he's saying this, I took a step, and I had no idea how there was no bottom to sin, how far down I could go. And I want to remind us that Jonah's a prophet. He's not a pagan. He's a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. Notice what he says about the conditions of his sin. He says in verse 3, there's such dramatic passage in here. He talks about the deep in the midst of the sea. The floods compass me about, all the billows and thy waves passed over me. Do you get this idea of Jonah inside this well? I don't know what it was like inside the well. I can only imagine the smells that were in there. By the way, I'm not a big fish eater, but I just can't imagine sticking my head inside the stomach of this fish. and the juices that we're trying to break down. You know, when you eat something, your juices and the gases in your stomach begins to break down the objects that are in your stomach. And can you imagine as it began to smell and the other things that were there and the sickness that was in there and all of the things that takes place. And notice what he says in verse 5. He says, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. Depths closed about me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with their bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. So imagine Jonah inside this stomach, the muscles contracting, the smells, the juices. He talks about seaweed being wrapped around his head. And then I want you to just get this idea of all of the other things that this fish had eaten. I mean, here's some leftover shrimp. Here's some other seaweed. And here's maybe he's laying inside with a couple of other nasty fish. And they've been in there longer than 3 days and three nights. This is not a refrigerated place. Can only imagine the body temperature of this great fish. Everybody with me on this? And then I can imagine this fish. He talked about going to the bottom. Can you imagine being on a roller coaster and you're on this roller coaster for maybe 3 minutes and you're like, yay, this is fun. And then somebody says, let's ride it again. Okay, that was fun. And they're like, no, let's ride it again. And you're like, I think I'm done. Anybody with me on this? We last year took our teens to SeaWorld, and there was a ride there called, there was no line there, and so our kids were like going on it. So I rode it twice, and after twice, man, my head was like pounding, and they're like, let's go again. I'm like, you go again. I'm sitting out here. And some of them rode it like four times, five, just because there was no line. I mean, they're just riding it, and I'm like, how are you doing this thing? I mean, can you, listen to me, can you imagine being stuck on a roller coaster for 8 hours? And by the way, let me just tell you what kind of lights were inside the fish's belly. It was complete darkness. He had no idea where he was going. He didn't know when he was going to the left. He didn't know when he was going to the right. It wasn't like anybody was saying, hold on. I've got a feeling that Jonah was pretty car sick. Let's use another term, fish sick. And the smells are getting worse, and he's just in there for 3 days and three nights. And Jonah would call this condition literally the belly of hell. He would describe it in verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me. He literally felt like he was in a prison. He was closed in, and he couldn't get out. There was no door. There was no window. There was no fresh air. And I'm not even sure how Jonah was able to breathe. God designed this and God allowed this, and it was a miracle that he was alive for this long, but God enabled it to happen. But I want you to notice here that as Jonah begins to take this direction, he says here in verse 5, the waters compass me about, and notice what God is doing here in Jonah's life. And I want you to capture this. There's a word that he uses twice in verse 5 and then again in verse 7. Notice what he says. The waters compass me even to the what? Soul. Notice in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Now, I want you to understand the power of prayer, and I want you to see the power of this prayer, because this is a powerful prayer. God has been doing a work in Jonah's life. God has prepared a great fish. And as much as we may look at the fish and we may say, oh, Brother Nance, why would God do this? Can I just say something? That the fish was nothing more than the mercy of God. Had God not prepared the fish, Jonah would never have survived in the deep. He would have drowned. The billows were all about him. But this fish enabled him to have 3 more days of grace in his life. Jonah talks about this fish and the direction and the consequences of sin in his life. This is because of mine affliction. But I want you to see here what happens to this fish. As Jonah is in this for 3 days, the Bible says something unique about this prayer. And I want you to notice again what it says in verse 7. When my soul, verse 7, are you with me? When my soul, what's the next word? Fainted. All right? Now, what happens when you faint? When a person faints, it's simply this. They've come to the end of their strength. There's nothing left. I don't know if you've ever fainted. Anybody ever fainted in here? When you ever faint, you kind of feel yourself going, and sometimes you can tell that it's coming on, and you realize, I need to sit down. I can't stand on my own anymore. And here is Jonah, and Jonah is not talking about physically fainting. Notice what's fainting in Jonah in verse 7. It is his soul. Jonah has come to a place of no strength. He has come to the end of himself. And can I tell you that when a prayer becomes powerful is when you come to the end of yourself. And what God has been trying to do all alone in Jonah's life is he's been trying to bring him to a place of prayer. Well, what is the place of prayer? The place of prayer is when you come to the end of yourself. Some of you prayed last night. You know why you prayed last night? You finally came to the end of yourself. And some of you haven't prayed. You know why? Because you haven't come to the end of yourself. And I'm just wondering how long you've got to ride this ride of life and sin. I'm just wondering how further you need to go. I'm just wondering how long you need to spend in the belly of the fish before you come to the end of yourself and your soul says, I'm done, God, I'm crying unto you. God is trying to bring you to a place this morning. He's trying to bring you to a place. He's trying to bring you to the depths where your soul is finally overwhelmed. I can't take it anymore. I'm done. I raise the white flag. I surrender. My soul faints. God says, that's where I wanted you to come. Because now you can pray. You know, it's funny to me. Please don't take this the wrong way, but there's a lot of times where guys are like, man, I just want to learn how to pray. I can tell you how to learn how to pray. You don't need a class. You just need to come to the end of yourself. Come to the end of yourself. When you come to the end of yourself and you become desperate for something and there's nothing there for Carrie, nothing there for Jonah, there's nothing there. I'm tired of going to the bottom. I'm tired of going to the depths. And notice here when Jonah prayed, I want you to see what happened in verse 7. This is miraculous. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered who? The Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Now notice here in verse 4, there's 2 thens in chapter 2. Verse 1 has a then Jonah prayed. But notice here in verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Now, so here is Jonah, and it's like he prayed, but then there was a switch. There was a switch that took place in verse 4. He said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I want you to understand that Jonah finally got it. It was almost like in Jonah's mind, he had finally come to a place where he realized, God is giving me over to my sin. Do you remember in chapter 1? Where we were preaching and I said I had the man up here, Ryan, and I was like, God, leave me alone. And then in chapter 2, verse 4, Jonah realizes, uh-oh, God's leaving me alone. God's giving me over. It's kind of like God's like, okay, if that's what you want, go for it. You want to go all the way to the bottom? You can go all the way to the bottom. And he's like, whoa, I don't want to go all the way to the bottom. Then I remembered, I'm cast out. And at that moment, he began to look somewhere. Where did he begin to look in verse 4? Where did he look to? What does it say in verse 4? Then I will look again toward thy what? Holy temple. And then in verse 7, he says, when my soul fainteth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. Notice here that he understands something about this. And I want you to, oh, young people, if you can understand this truth this morning, that God is not limited by space. He is not limited by your sin. God is not limited by you. God is an almighty God. He doesn't need a cell phone. He doesn't need a landline. He needs a broken heart. And when Jonah came to the end of himself, he looked to God, and you would think, oh my goodness, if God was human, you would think that God would say, I've given you so many chances. I've given you so many opportunities. I have literally turned storms to cause you to pray, and you've rejected, and you've rejected, and you've rejected, and you've been so hard-hearted. But don't you understand that the moment that Jonah came to the end of himself and prayed, his prayer was heard. That's an amazing thought. God is not human. He's not over there pouting and saying, well, I'll have to think about forgiving you. Did you know I've never come to God and said, God, when I came to the end of myself, listen to me, when I came to the end of myself and I turned unto the Lord, there's never been a time that God said, let me think about it. Let me come back to you in about 3 weeks. Because I've been really hurt. Aren't you thankful God's not like that? Aren't you thankful that God's forgiveness is not some negotiating thing? Aren't you thankful that God's forgiveness is not some manipulative mover where he's like, well, let me see if you're really sincere. When I came to the end of myself, I'm driving this home. I want you to get it. When I came to the end of myself and I looked to God, he responded to my broken, humble, weak prayer. When I came to the end of, you're almost getting it. When I came to the end of, you know why chapter 2 is so beautiful? Because God is recording for us a powerful prayer. It's a powerful prayer of somebody who's not a victim. They're not blaming people. Those people threw me overboard. I am sorry, but I'll tell you why I did it. Don't come with that nonsense. No. I'm in this condition because it's mine affliction. And I'm in this condition because God put me in the deep. And I'm in this condition because I cast him out of my sight, and he cast me out of my sight. And I said, I want my sin. And he said, all right, you can have it. But God, I'm at the end of myself. My soul faints. My soul faints. God, would you hear my prayer? I'm looking to you. And he does. Amen. That's pretty miraculous, isn't it? Brother Nance, this last year, I've really gotten into some sin. I've gone deep. Can I just say something? And I honestly, you live in a different world than I grew up in. When I was a teenager, for me to get a hold of pornography, I had to go to a 7-Eleven, and that's where you would find the magazines, and they were behind the counter, and they literally had like blockers on them, and you could see the top of the magazine label. Some of these guys would probably recognize what I'm saying. You had to ask a lady or somebody to get that and to hand it, and you had to buy it in public, and that's how you got a hold of pornography. Can I tell you, as a teenager, I didn't have pornography in my life. It wasn't available. I remember one time, my best friend and I were 13, and this is going to sound kind of quirky, but we were walking through a park, and there was a Playboy magazine over there, and it was laying over there, and this was our mindset. I mean, my dad was a fire brimstone preacher. We saw this Playboy magazine. We got our pocket knives out. We stabbed it. Both of us stabbed the magazine, picked it up with our pocket knives, and dropped it in the trash can. We didn't even want to touch it.
Amen.
It was just a different world.
Right.
It's how scared I was of Playboy.
Good.
You know, I can remember that. Jim Smith, he was a missionary. That's not how it is today. Now you can pull up your phone and you can go to the darkest places of the world. And you don't have to go to a 7-Eleven to get it. It's just not pornography. Social media teaches you how to live, how to dress, how to think, how to respond to authority, how to treat your parents. How they're clueless. I mean, Taylor Swift's songs are not about God.
Right.
We're not going to talk about that, are we? No, we're not. You already know.
That's right.
It's one of the great tools of Satan.
Right.
The music is literally about how bad authority is. Nobody understands. It's a victim mindset. And I'm just trying to encourage you that you live in a world where sin is very available to you.
Right. Yes.
What I'm trying to say is this: you don't have to go 10 miles to go to the depths. You can go to your bedroom and go to the depths.
Right.
Is everybody with me on this?
Amen.
You can get in relationships through Facebook. You can have conversations. Pictures. I'm just telling you that there is a world that you live in that wasn't there 20 years ago.
Right.
So I'm not shocked when kids come and say, "I haven't prayed in a long time, and I can tell you why I haven't prayed, because I'm in the depths of sin, and I don't know how to get back." And I don't know if God would hear my prayer. And I'm telling you that chapter 2 is a precious chapter, because Jonah was in the depths. And if you will come to the end of yourself, and if you will look to a holy God, he will hear your cry.
Amen.
Now I want to give you one more thing, and then I'm going to be done. All right? My time's gone. But who cares about time anyway?
Amen.
Everybody says that, but the camp director. I want you to get this picture. I want you to get this picture because some of you are experiencing this right now. I want you to get this, all right? Here is Jonah, and Jonah is making his decision in chapter 1. Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. I wish I'd have brought my raincoat. So here is Jonah, and as Jonah is walking this way, it's like he puts the raincoat on. Everybody got the illustration? It's like he's got blinders on his eyes. Where are you going? Tarshish? That sounds like fun. It's going to be a blast. I'm getting in this boat. Sin's going to be fun. This is going to be an awesome journey. And I will tell you this, that I am fleeing from the presence of God. And if I can physically separate myself from God, God will stop dealing with me spiritually. Is that his mindset, yes or no? And as he goes this direction, he's spiritually asleep, and things are darkened. And I'm not going to re-preach the message, but I will re-preach the message. Here they are. Shocked at his sin. He's not shocked at his sin. Is that right?
Right.
Ship's about to be broken. They're throwing everything overboard. And Jonah's like, what's the big deal?
Yep.
What's the big deal? And it's almost like the further he goes, the more spiritually darkened he becomes. He's very, it's my life, I don't care. Pray unto your God that we perish not. I'm not praying. It's like everything's closed in. Now I want you to catch this. Here's what you got in chapter 2. Chapter 2, when he starts going this way, just the opposite takes place. This direction, his eyes are darkened. This direction, he begins to see and things become illuminated. And it's almost like it was mine affliction. No, it was God that cast me into the depths. I was the problem. There's no victim mentality at all in chapter 2, yes or no? And it's almost like he can see clearly. And some of you last night, you know what I love about last night? Some of you started taking steps, and when you started taking steps, it's almost like the scales fell off your eyes, and you started seeing things you hadn't seen before. You had heard them, you just didn't see them. And last night, the scales are falling off, and you're like, yeah, I've been the problem. I've been the idiot. I've been angry at my mom. I've been angry at my siblings. I've been blaming this, blaming that, blaming this, and feeling sorry. And I'm the one that caused it. Everybody with me? I want you to notice in this journey a verse here. It's a powerful verse. I want to encourage you to underline it, highlight it, write it on your refrigerator, put it on your mirror, because Jonah, it's like a aha moment for Jonah. Notice what he says in verse 8. They that observe, next two words, what are they?
Lying
vanities. Now, when we talk about lying vanities, let me see here. I'll use this. All right. Liam, come here and help me if you would. This is going to be our idol. We're going to name this Idol Bob. All right. So everybody see Idol Bob? Everybody see Idol Bob? I'm going to worship this. I'm going to give my heart to this. I'm going to pray to this. Does anybody really see what this really is? It's a box. Come on. It's a box. It's got a guy on there. We got a name him Bob. All right. So you hold up my idol. What's our idol's name?
Bob.
For me to observe this, for me to pray to this, for me to look to this and to give my all to Idol Bob, the truth is there's two words that describe it. It's a lying. Lying means it's not telling the truth.
Right.
It's something that is deceiving.
Right.
He promises, everybody tells me, hey, listen, I'm telling you, if you worship Idol Bob, you will get
A, B, C, and D. But the truth is he's not telling the truth. He is lying. The second word is vanity. I want you to put your hand up. Hand up. Here's how I preach through Ecclesiastes. I want you to see it in front of you. I want you to grab it. Grabbed a bunch of air. Now open up your hand. What do you have? Nothing. That's what vanity is. It's a handful of nothing. It's emptiness is literally the word. Vanities of vanities. It's empty upon empty. Emptiness is a handful of air. So I come to Bob, and Bob's lying to me. He's deceiving me. And then when I serve him, you know what I have? I gave my all, and they that observe lying vanities. Now stop just for a second. Here is Jonah, and I want to just say this. Was Jonah a pagan, yes or no? Did he have idols in his life? No, look, I know some of you are trying to be deeper. Don't be deeper on me yet. We'll get there. But did he have an idol, Bob?
No.
Did he worship Zeus?
No.
Did he worship Baal?
No.
But did he put something in the place of God?
Yes.
If you'll notice in that verse, he includes himself, they, that observe lying vanities, forsake their own what?
Mercy.
You have a choice that you can pursue. You're going to pursue something.
Right.
Say, Brother Nance, I'm going to live my own life. Then you're going to observe lying vanities.
Right.
And at the same time, you forsake your own mercy. And it's almost like his eyes in this whale after 3 days and three nights are opened up. And he realized, oh God, I've been chasing a lying vanity. I've been pursuing nothing. All the promises it made to me are lies. I was deceived. You can put it down now. But he makes a choice in his prayer, doesn't he? You can be seated. What's his choice? Notice the next verse. What does he say? Now hang on. I want you to get this. Chapter 1, but Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 4, but the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 5, but Jonah was fast asleep. Chapter 2, verse 9. I want you to hear his prayer. Oh God, my eyes are open. I've been chasing these lying vanities. I forsook my own mercy. But I, does everybody see the choice? But I will sacrifice unto thee. Stop just for a second. Help me. Where's he at? Well, is that right? Yes or no? Yeah. It's not like he's got a table and a lamp and a mirror and a bathroom and a kitchen. He doesn't have anything in there, does he? Does he have a sacrifice?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
He has nothing to bring but one thing. The only sacrifice that he has is found in verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is where? You know what happened in chapter 2? Here's what happened. I'm done. Come to the end of myself. My soul, it's fainting. Crying unto the Lord. And all of a sudden, the scales just start coming down. And I'm starting to see things I never saw before. Oh man, I was following his promises. I was following this crowd. I thought it was going to bring me all this stuff. All I did was forsake my own mercy.
Yes.
Now he's over here giving thanks, and he realizes one truth. Salvation is of the Lord. Can I tell you what God is waiting on this morning? He's waiting on your prayer. He's been preparing your heart to pray. And you know who can pray? You know who wants to pray? The person that comes to the end of... Who is it? The person that comes to the where? So that's the question this morning, isn't it? Do you want to pray? Have you come to the end of yourself? Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. Pray that you'd help us to see the prayer of Jonah. I pray that you would open up our eyes and allow us to see truth this morning.